When a whirl, there we go. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. Amen. That was a good word. That was such a good word. Glory. When we first became pastors, there was a person that was that told us, well, you guys don't really have to do a sermon at every time you take up the offering. And it's like, you know, this is actually before COVID hit, so thank God our church has always been teaching about tithing and giving our offerings, because, hallelujah, most of us in here just, it was like a breeze getting right through it. It was the blessings of God hitting us from every direction. We increased, we didn't decrease. Glory to God, we saw some amazing miracles during that time. So, and I think it's because we had a strong word concerning tithe and offering and how to prosper, and that we don't have to be on the world system. Amen. We're on God's system. Just like when Pastor Ricky was talking, I believe on Sunday, where he said, if you lost your job, would your faith sustain you? So when things were going upside down, was your faith there to sustain you? And glory to God, we saw some amazing things happen with the people that were going to our church because we keep this word in front of us, getting some good teaching on it. So hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your word going out, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish everything that it is sent to do. Lord, that we grab it right now by faith, that we have ears to hear and a heart that understands, Father God, and that we hear this not from myself, but Lord, that we will hear this from the throne of God tonight. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. One thing that we're doing with the praise and worship team is we're reading 1 Corinthians 13 together. And we've just done it, I think, once so far. But it's pretty powerful to be able to read that together and have that unity and put that love of God before us. But when we were reading through that, something kind of popped up in my heart a little bit. And we're just going to read through this. It's very familiar. It's good. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 13, we're just going to start at number 1. Thank you. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. We could just preach all night about this. I mean, we've been learning more and more about the love of God, but even those things, it's just so good. Have it before us all the time. Does not rejoice in iniquity. When someone stumbles and falls, when someone sins, when someone steps back from the Lord, or whatever that case may be, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. Man, if we just got up and read that every single day, or read it with our spouse, or, you know, think about what kind of dramatic change this can do for your life. Tonight we're going to be talking about love is kind. We're going to be talking about kindness. Kindness is not simply emotion or a mere feeling. Sometimes we kind of have this idea that kindness is some kind of a feeling inside, and then you show kindness or something. No, kindness, usually you do kindness when you don't feel like it. Jesus was a man of emotions also. Like the rest of us, he saw the multitudes, and the Bible says he felt he had compassion on them. Sometimes that's very easily to confuse that emotion maybe with kindness, something with that. But yet kindness isn't measured by intentions or feelings. It is an action. Just like love is an action. The world wants to tell you that love is an emotion, but love is not an emotion. Love is an action. Kindness is an action. It is not something wimpy or afraid or mushy and fuzzy. Kindness is something, kindness will sometimes need it to confront. We need it to challenge. We have to have that kindness in our heart to be able to do that with the right intentions, if I can say it like that. You have to have that kindness to be able to say things kindly, even though it might come off way on left field. You know, we have to rein it back in. If you're more of a stronger personality that everybody, maybe even everybody that you've known growing up, you need to say that nicely, or you have a loud voice, or you come off very abrasive, or whatever that might be like. I know we're all different. Those kind of people maybe need to rein it in a little bit more, need to understand, I come off a little bit abrasive. I need to learn how to use kindness when I talk to people. Learn how to change some different things. If no one's ever told you this kind of stuff, of how you need to change things in your life, the Word of God's going to be showing us this, that we need to be showing kindness through the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. Amen? Kindness. We need to know how to speak kindly. We need to know how to act kindly. We need to have that in our life. All right. You might also need kindness with correcting an error. Something of that kind of feeling with it. There's ways to be able to say things with kindness. Sometimes using kindness costs us something. Usually it's our pride and our selfishness. If you boil it down and you don't want to be kind right then and right there, it's usually one thing. It's pride. It always boils down to pride. Selfishness boils right back down to pride. And if we don't want to change the way we're saying things, if we don't want to change the way we're doing things, then it is a pride issue. And we need to take that before the Lord, because that is a serious, serious issue with the Lord. And you don't want to find out the hard way when we can repent and give it to Him and get things right. Amen? Amen. Kindness is not random. How many times have we seen maybe on a bumper sticker or something of random acts of kindness? Kindness is not random. And the biblical way of kindness is not random. And we're going to learn that tonight. Kindness of what 1 Corinthians 13, which Paul speaks about, is not random. All those different things. Be not, you're not rude. Don't parade yourself. You're not puffed up. Those are all things that we purposely have to be aware of and purposely have to renew our mind and get things down on the inside of us and listen to the Holy Spirit so we can start making changes. Amen? Kindness has a clear motive. Kindness has clear purposes. It's intentional. It is edifying people. It glorifies God. There's a definition in the Greek. It is C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. So whatever that is, how you pronounce that in the Greek. So that is the word for kindness. It involves actively seeking the good of another. Actively seeking, there's our action word, right? Actively seeking the good of another, and doing so with a gentle spirit, even though they might not deserve it. What have we received that we didn't deserve? Amen? The blood of Jesus. Glory to God. It works for the welfare of the one loved, of the other person. We are presented with plenty of opportunities all around us to be kind toward others, to demonstrate this critical quality of love to the world, which the world, knows so little of love. Well, the real love of God. All right, I thought this was interesting. There was an American general by the name McAuliffe who found himself at Gaston, surrounded by the enemy. "Men," he said, "we are surrounded by the enemy. We have the greatest opportunity afforded an army. We can attack in any direction." That's what we feel like sometimes. We're taking this kindness, we're taking this love of God, and we are attacking. It feels like everybody's around us. It feels like we're surrounded, but we need to think positively. We need to be thinking, well, that's a great thing. Now I can attack in any direction. Everyone around me needs the kindness of God. Everyone around me needs the love of God. So I thought that was really cute. Kindness is an active response to an opportunity to edify another person, even if they don't deserve it. Active response. We need to have an active response. Amen. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Kindness, where does it come from? Where does kindness come from? Galatians 5. Let me just look it up in here too. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen? It starts with love, ends with self-control, and then everything in between. But if we start off things with love, and if we use self-control, then we can usually get all these other things in between. Amen? It talks about kindness. When we surrender our lives to the Lord, we get this exchange of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, amen, and these fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is fruit? Just naturally, we know fruit is evidence of what kind of tree this is, what kind of bush this is. It's evidence of what kind of flower it is. It's the evidence of that. So we have the fruit of the Spirit, amen? So it is the evidence of what's shed abroad in our heart. It is the evidence of things that we know and that we are trying to develop in our Christian walk. These are things that should show in our life as a Christian, the fruits of the Spirit. And one of those things is kindness. Kindness. In other words, again, this quality is to be produced in its truest and highest form in the life of the believer in Jesus Christ through the working of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These fruits of the Spirit are on the inside of us, are supernatural, and they are powerful. They are anointed. They are a force of the living God running through our veins, being portrayed out as an action. If we can really think of it like that. Love is a powerful force. Patience is a powerful force. And we can feel that. If you ever need to be patient, you can feel how powerful that force of patience can be. Because most of the time we don't want to be patient. So when you're using patience, you can feel how powerful that force is. I think it's really funny, that scripture that says faith and patience, how both are very powerful, both are needed to get things done, amen, for the Lord. But sometimes we get really excited about faith, faith conferences, healing conferences, increase conferences, you know, things like that. But what if we have our faith explosion here at this church, right? What if we called our faith explosion patience explosion? See how it's really hard to get excited about that, you know? I wonder what our turnout would be if we changed the name from faith explosion to patience explosion. Same thing with kindness explosion, you know, I mean, but there is a powerful force with patience. There is a powerful force with kindness, and we need to start developing this in our life, amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 2:4. So kindness, where does it come from? The fruit of the Spirit. It's placed on the inside of us, amen? We just need to develop it. But it's also the very nature of God. Romans 2:4. And let's see here. Okay, that's New King James Version. Okay. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Can we bring up the Amplified with that also too, please? We're going to read this in a couple different translations, because sometimes we read this, we're like, goodness, forbearance, I don't really know what that is, but that's okay, I'll skim through. Long-suffering, yeah, I don't really like that word, we're okay with that. Not knowing the goodness of God, okay, and repentance, do we really have to repent? But these are scriptures. We need to know what this is really telling us, what God is really telling us in the Word. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise underestimate the wealth of his kindness? Wealth of his kindness. The wealth of his kindness. It's talking about God here. The wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, patience. There's that word patience. Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind, the inner man, to accept God's will? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do we have the TPT version back there in this? If not, I do have it written down. Okay. All right. Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness, make you take him for granted or despise him? That's a question right there. Have you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Oh, haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Man, when I read that earlier this morning, I'm like, Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we doing that? Have we been doing that? Mistaking his tolerance for acceptance. Wow. What has God been tolerating with us? How we're treating people? When he's already been checking us every single time, how we're treating people, how we're treating coworkers, how we're talking bad about our boss behind their back, how we're treating our spouse. I mean, we could go on with a whole bunch of different things. I'm just bringing that up because I'm talking about kindness. But whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to you guys right now, because I know he is, he's bringing these pictures up like, oh, that's what, okay, yes, Lord, I know that you've been talking to me about that. Has God been tolerating those things? And have we mistaken his tolerance for acceptance? Because he is not accepting that. He will not accept sin. There is only so much that he's going to let you get by with And then, so there's this, you know, basically an umbrella where, yes, his mercy and grace and everything else, but just like a child, when the parent's saying, don't run out in the street, don't run out in the street. And then, you know, here's this umbrella that God's mercy and grace and everything else, but he keeps on telling you, you know what? I've had the pastor preach on it 3-4 times this whole last month. I've been telling you every time you pick up your thing, I've been checking you on the inside every time you do that, and you're not changing it. There's things that need to be changed. And so here's this mercy and grace, and we're over here. At some point, we have to get back under. We have to get back lined up with the Word of God and how we need to be doing things. And that's called repentance. That's called repentance. We are turning. We're over here. We're turning away from that. We're getting back over this way with God. So, all right, Lord, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to mistake this tolerance that you've been putting up with me for over and over again for acceptance, because God is not accepting that. Amen. Okay, and it goes on. Here we go. We got stuck right there. That was good. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and to lead you into repentance? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There it is again. Wealth of his extravagant kindness. When kindness is a powerful anointed force from God Almighty that we can develop to be able to bring men to repentance with him. And we are doing that. Amen. Glory to God. We are applying that to our life. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace that you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, glory to God, in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. We can't work toward it. We can't earn it. We can't pay for it. It is a gift from God. And we have to accept it and apply it to our life. And his kindness is there, and his kindness brings men to repentance. We know these other things as gifts. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a gift right there. Do you think that was based, yes, in the love of God, but in kindness? For a world that hated him, that rejected him? And Christ died for us. Amen. Glory to God. I wonder if he's saying, I'm going to show them my kindness, my love. Do you think that was intentional? Yeah. It wasn't just some random act. Intentional. It was precise. It was on purpose. It was for you, and it was for I. It's for others. It's for this whole world. Amen. It's God's way of paying it forward, right? Because he knows the law of seed, time, and harvest. Paying it forward. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will it be put in your bosom? For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And we usually skim over that last little bit of that verse. For with the same measure that you use, same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Again, seed, time, harvest. But this is in all areas of our life. It's in love. It's in friendship. It's in kindness. Amen. God is kind toward us because this is his very nature and disposition. And guess what? We have that same nature. We're heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen. Same nature on the inside of us. We can do this. We can change these things. We can get there. What does kindness look like? What does kindness look like? Kindness looks like treating people with grace, which God has treated you with. Kindness looks like using a gentle word when someone is upset and yells back at you. You're handling, you're responding instead of reacting, right? There was sermons with that several times. We're learning how to respond and not react to things because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. We know how to use kindness, how to handle situations. Kindness looks like forgiveness. Amen. Restoration, reaching out to the unlovely people in our life, if I can say it like that, the people that we don't really want to reach out to, they're the ones that he wants you to reach out to, by the way. It's easy just reaching out to, friends, but it's actually applying what God had to do with his son, what we need to do. Amen? Reaching out to the people that are a little unloving. Pastor Ricky said, the ones that get on your nerves. This was interesting. At the end of World War I, Herbert Hoover, who would later become the President of the United States, led the Allied relief efforts in Europe. The efforts of these valiant soldiers kept hundreds upon hundreds from starvation in Finland. All right, so he was there with his troops. The Finland troops were there, except for they were starving. And he was the way that they got food to their troops. And it's a very long story. I'm only reading like this much of a very long story, but you can look it up. It's very neat. The Finnish people made a new word in their language, in the Finnish language. They made a verb. What is a verb? It's an action word. Amen. They made a verb out of Herbert Hoover's last name. And I can't pronounce it. It looks like maybe an S and a T and an O and then the word Hoover, and I don't know what that sounds like, but it means to be kind or to help. And so think about that powerful, anointed force of kindness that he was able to show that whole nation, that they even created an action word, a verb, from what he did to help their troops survive. Glory to God. I mean, think about the outreach. Think about the influence that one act did for their nation. That's pretty powerful. So what does kindness look like? There was one point we had went out to eat. Your mom and dad were there. Dr. Jean and Shana were there. Don't know who else was there, but we were the loud table in the restaurant, okay? So we're laughing and doing all kinds of stuff. And so this other person that was kind of in close proximity to us, he was getting upset. Well, this is the end of our dinner. Do you remember this, honey? This is the end of the dinner, and he was getting upset and kind of started yelling at us and different things. And so when we left, though, I saw a really great act of kindness, remember, from Dr. Jean. Now, he didn't make a big show of it or anything, but when we were all walking out, he went over to the table and paid for that man's food. And for me, it was just such a great example of the love of God, of being able to witness to that person, because of course we're all laughing and things about church and God and different things, so obviously he knows that we're Christians, and now we're disturbing his meal, you know, so is that necessarily a good example it just depends. It was upsetting him, so he wasn't taking it as a good thing. But it was a really good act to be able to see that subtle thing of, I am so sorry to disturb your dinner. We want to pay for your dinner. And it was a really, really great act of kindness that we were able to see so powerfully. So now this man knows that we're Christians, and this man connects that with the kindness and the love of God. Instead of us all walking out and how can he say that and why was he yelling at us and he's mad, we're mad, everybody's upset. I mean, that would have been a horrible example of what. And so it was able to connect that, to blend that together, to show the love of God. So, The great preacher John Wesley once told a group of Christians, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." That's kindness and that's love. Amen. So here at Spirit Life Church, we're going to be doing something about this time of year, which we're going to be getting into November very soon. This is the end of October. We have ordered these cards that say, "Pay it forward." And on the back, it has our church logo, it has a scripture at the top, and it has mainly, it's blank, so we can write a note on there. And what we're going to be doing, and this was actually on a member's heart here in the congregation, and she brought it up to us. We loved it right then and there. We were like, this is going to be amazing. Because sometimes, and especially during this time of year, sometimes things get a little tight for people. And what we wanted to do was somehow, instead of just, how many of you guys, okay, one time I was in Subway, and I had the kids there, and I got all my sandwiches, and I had forgotten my wallet at the house on the table, because I just got done doing whatever, paying bills or whatever. My wallet was on the table. And so now I have all these sandwiches, drinks and everything, kids, and now I can't pay for the meal. Well, the man behind me, of course, paid for my meal. Thank God. I was like, hallelujah. I was like, we were so grateful. But how much more impact would that have been if he would have maybe had, if I would have known he was a Christian, possibly? Like if I wasn't a Christian and knew that a Christian just paid for my meal? So we have these pay it forward cards that we're going to be able to kind of blend that together. We're going to gap that together. So if there is a point in time where, say, you're at a restaurant, there's a waitress, then you can say, you know what? Maybe say the person's name. Can we pray for you? Because I know this time of year can be hard on people. Can we just pray? People will break down crying if you ask them, do you have anything that I can pray with you about? And then give them that pay it forward card and say, you know, you were great at the back of it. Or, you know, there's so many different things that the Holy Spirit can show you how to do, what to do with these. Leave a nice tip with it and say something on the back that you really appreciate them. Maybe they haven't heard that in a really long time. Maybe give it to the person that's worked an 8-hour shift at Walmart during Christmas time and give that with a nice little, you know, that doesn't have to even be anything monetary, just a nice little something on the back that it could totally bless them. So we have ordered those. We're still about a week away from getting them in, so we'll probably bring this back up on a Sunday morning too. But just be kind of letting that stir up on the inside of you. Let the Holy Spirit start giving you ideas. And we're going to start being able to use kindness and use this force, this anointed force of kindness in our whole area, in our community, and just letting people know that God loves them. Amen? So glory to God. I'm just going to say one thing that when this pay it forward first started to kind of start going, I don't know about what year it was, but the pay it forward thing that was happening. In 1 year, there was 10 million acts of kindness that was happening, which is really, really amazing. That's great. That's a great thing. Think how wonderful and awesome that would be if we could say that was 10 million acts of kindness from the Lord. Amen. From a God who loves them, from, you know, and connecting them back to the love of God. So, glory to God. We are expecting some really, really great things with this. And so, glory to God. And this isn't going to be random acts of kindness. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. So when we go around with these, we're going to be intentional. We're going to be precise. We're going to be on purpose. The Holy Spirit's going to tell us what to say, just like Jesus at the well. Amen. He told exactly what she needed to hear to get her attention and to bring her in into repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your wisdom. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your kindness that you sent your Son Jesus to this earth for us to die on a cross, to take stripes upon your back for us. But not only that, glory to God, you have given us the victory. When you rose from the grave in 3 days, hallelujah, and you ascended on high, and now you are sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. Hallelujah, that is the God that we serve. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. I thank you, Jesus, that things will start to stir up in us for the kindness that we can show to the people around us. We're surrounded on all sides, glory to God, and we can just show everyone kindness and the love of God. Hallelujah. And we are ready and we are prepared and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed.